Hello and welcome to this special series from Great British Brands in association with Changemakers. It's a collection of conversations with outstanding guests where we seek the answer to a very big question: what next? In the course of answering that, we explore what it takes to be a great British brand and the people and stories behind them. Today, we focus on Musto, the world's leading sailing brand and master engineer of technical clothing to help peak performance. Launched by British Olympic sailor Keith Musto in 1964, it's a brand that continues to uphold the ethos of its founder through durable designs driven by science, innovation, and sustainability. And to tell this story, I'm joined by Nick Hootchin and Chris Holliman, the head of marketing and head of product at Musto. Nick, Chris, welcome to the show. Now, I understand that you are both performance sailors yourself and were living the brand before you actually got into the business. Nick, do tell us what you were doing before that job started at Musto.
Yeah, so I've grown up sailing. My family sailed, came up through the British youth squads and things like that, and ended up sailing professionally for a fair bit as well during my 20s, and before I decided it was time to stop bumming around on boats and get a real job and move into marketing, and I guess here we are now, and been in the current role as head of marketing at Musto for the last 2 years.
I mean, Chris, you're both, for the benefit of listeners, I can see fabulously lovely shots of yachts and performance sailing boats that you both have. Nick and Chris, you're both in different places, but this is clearly something that runs deep in the blood for you too.
Yeah, I think same as Nick, really incredibly passionate about the sport. It's been something that I kind of dreamed of from a kid, and again, you know, super competitive, went through, you know, a number of classes racing and into, you know, through dinghies and then into yachts and a bit of match racing and team racing in between. But yeah, it's something that has that draw, and to be able to kind of work in that environment as well is just a real pleasure.
And it's a sport where margins really do matter, isn't it, Nick? I was reading something that you said in an interview about Keith Musto. And that he formed the brand knowing that if he and his crew were wearing better clothing, that they would have come away with a gold medal rather than silver. I mean, In terms of those margins, let's start to introduce the role of the brand, the role of Musto, the company.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was 1964. Keith Musto went to the Olympics with his crew and came away with that silver medal. And they were pioneers. You know, it was frowned upon to do any fitness training even in those times, and they were pushing the boundaries. They were really kind of trying to take leaps ahead and look for that extra gain and that extra fine margin that, you know, is commonly talked about in the world of sport now, but wasn't necessarily in those days. And they came away with that silver medal, knowing how small the margin was between silver and gold, and ended up, you know, creating the Musto brand. And applying that same ethos into the clothing, knowing that, you know, if you're wearing the clothing that makes you feel comfortable, makes you not have to worry about being cold or too hot, whatever it is, it means you can focus on your performance and give you that extra margin to come away with that gold or that first place, whatever race you're doing, or instead of that silver.
I mean, Chris, I mean, it's like a lot of sports, is that you look back to different decades, the 60s, 70s, 80s, and you know, that I guess the ethos of product and the ethos of design and innovation and technology was completely different to what it is today, where so much is expected. I mean, you've got that job of pushing those boundaries. What are the sorts of things you look at in terms of developing product?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, really. Today's boats and today's racing, it would be kind of unrecognizable from, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. But in terms of the principle, it's still the same thing. It's finding out the marginal gains. It's isolating those and working out how to make things faster, lighter, and more efficient. And that's, you know, that's happening in boats. And we've seen that from where they used to kind of plod around, you know, pushing lots of water to now where they're flying around on foils and, you know, close on 50 knots, and it's just an incredible spectacle. But it's the same with apparel. So we're taking that same principle that, you know, can we make something lighter? Can we make it faster, more durable? And that's been sort of the kind of foundation from when Keith started, and that's still the main foundation today.
I mean, and you've moved it into other areas like equestrian, but I suppose that performance ethic, Nick, is a big part of it. But I suppose whereas a lot of professional sports people would wear Musto, so do a lot of amateur people, sports people, and in fact, people that might not even view themselves as sports people in the same way. When you are in charge of a brand like that, that has to, I guess, appeal to a lot of different people in that journey, how does it stay true to the mission? How does it stay true to the ethos?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big responsibility, but the best thing about it is that we working with the best sailors and the best athletes is you get the best insights into then creating the best product using the best technology. So that then has a kind of a trickle down effect into the less maybe performance orientated generalist clothing, jackets and things that that still has that that edge that that will keep you warm, keep you dry when people are walking down the street, you know, in the weather like it is today when it's pouring with snow outside, and you need that nice warm collar, fleece lined collar that, you know, we've designed from the Ocean kit that's then kind of put into and maybe scaled down slightly for jackets and clothing that that is for the amateur or for, you know, for the person who's just, you know, walking to the shops or doing the commute.
I mean, it must be a phenomenal sort of task to actually create that all round brand, I suppose, and that all round sort of business. I mean, I was reading about Musto in 1990, you know, successfully developing a new dry suit to protect sailors in what was then the Whitbread Round the World race, now that Volvo Ocean race. Actually to help them survive, to actually last longer in the water. And then I think about my Musto jacket, which I've had for a lot of years, but it's never really been in a sort of, a life-threatening situation. And I suppose, but there are certain ideals, I guess, that you want this sort of product, you want Musto clothing to help embody. Chris, when you're looking at it from a product design basis, I suppose, to what degree does that kind of performance and fashion balance work its way through in terms of the work that you do?
Yeah, I guess it's we kind of want to make the difference in whatever we do, and that, you know, is on the water. We want to enable sailors to perform at their best, and we talked about how we use technology there to make them faster and perform better. But, you know, off the water, we want to go out there and enjoy the environment as, you know, as much as possible. And ultimately, we're challenged slightly different challenges on, you know, racing high performance boats than it is going out in some of the crazy conditions that we're seeing today with the snow. But, you know, we can make incredible kit that can enable people to get out there and enjoy or perform or do whatever they need to do.
I mean, just in terms of that great outdoors, Nick, in terms of the ethos and the story, I mean, you look at the website and every shot is of, you know, sort of great, sort of brilliant outdoor settings, whether they be at sea or at land. But the idea is very much that this is about sporting high performance type environments. And I suppose when you look at the charities that you support as well and the overall journey of the business, this is a business where issues like sustainability matter, where issues like the future of the planet matter. I mean, to what degree was that something that you've come to as the rest of the world has come to it? Or to what degree was this hardwired from some of those, I guess, foundation principles back in the 60s?
Yeah, I mean, we're passionate about the communities and the locations and areas where our products are worn and the communities that wear them. So it's hugely important, you know, the well-being of our planet and our environments. you know, we've long prided ourselves on the durability and quality of the product, and you can argue that the most sustainable product is the one that lasts the longest. And that's still something that we want to continue to push forward with. And it's become, the magnifying glass has been really on this issue and topic for the last, even more so, the last 4 or 5 years. And it's something we want to take forward. So we're assessing where we are and what steps we can to improve.
But I wonder if there is a tension here, because, I mean, you know, you look at... Your website, and you've got some brilliant stories about 20-year-old Musto garments that people are showing to you, telling you the story of, and yet you are a business that needs to sell product, and actually that means about designing more clothing, new ideas. That balance between consumption, I guess, mindful consumption, respectful consumption. How do you achieve it?
I guess it's everybody has the chance and the opportunity to make the right choices, and you know, we can only make those choices as they come. But we try and design everything with purpose, and that goes back down to the foundations of the brand. If we design something with purpose, then it's going to be used and it's going to continue to be used. We're not really into designing stuff kind of here or there. We definitely have a very specific brief, and that's what we design to. So with the help of all of our ambassadors as well, it means that when we actually create something, we have something that is truly going to last. And you can see that in terms of the products within the range that have stuck around for so long, like the Snug and, you know, the HPX collection. We have these incredible products that continue to live on.
Mm. I mean, Nick, we are talking today about great British brands. And, you know, I was thinking about my experience of Musto was that I'm not sure I could have said that is a British brand. I'd say it's an international brand. It's a sort of, you know, I'm wondering to what degree does that kind of backstory of being really the brainchild of a British Olympic sailor. To what degree does the UK actually feature in the DNA of the organization and its story?
Yeah, it's a big part of our DNA. Of course it is. We're a Royal Warrant holder as well. And that carries a lot of prestige with it as well. So we think being British means being high quality. And I think a lot of people around the world think that as well. But we say we're British by birth, but international by nature.
So. Right. So there is a balance between being British and being, because there is a global sense about Musto. You know, there's sort of like this idea that actually it feels like a very world brand in many respects. I mean, how do you manage to sort of balance off that being British by heritage but international by nature?
Yeah, it's having. Good people that work with us around the world and having a dialogue, keeping our eyes open, keeping broad horizons, having open eyes, and having that dialogue with our representatives in different markets that can help influence our product and the way we talk as a brand to make sure that we do have an international tone of voice and appeal to people outside of the UK as well.
I suppose just a question on, I mean, you mentioned the Royal Warrants. I mean, the degree to which something like that helps a British brand and the degree to which that inspires product design in terms of the expectations of something like a warrant. Maybe Nick, very quickly on the brand, and then Chris over in terms of what does that help you on in terms of the ethos?
Yeah, it means that we want to make sure that the service that we provide, the way we come across is of the right standard. It's a premium brand. And we set high standards of ourselves and the Royal Warrant Holders Association set high standards of us as well. So that's how we want to come across as a brand. And it's how that comes across in the product as well, which I'm sure Chris can talk.
Yeah, I mean, does it help you in terms of thinking about quality and qualities, I suppose, Chris, in terms of what a warrant sort of, I guess, gets you to think about?
Yeah, I mean, we have regular meetings with them to discuss what the expectations are, and you know, that's what it kind of sets. It sets the expectations that throughout the whole team, we all have a, you know, a common goal that these are the standards we want to meet. And, you know, we always, you know, choose where possible to make the right decision. So whether that's, you know, moving all of our cotton to organic, or, you know, using certain amount of recycled materials in the product, or, you know, designing something in a way that means that it's going to last longer. So, you know, using specific types of Cordura rather than just, you know, a lower grade reinforcement to mean that that product is still being used, you know, 5, 6, 7 years on than you know, a lower grade reinforcement.
But I suppose that's quality. But in terms of being a British product and a British design, how does the head of product see that in terms of a responsibility about clothing designed and innovated here?
Yeah, I mean, I think the what we've kind of gone back to recently is the fact that the British weather and the British coast and the sea and countryside offers at some point nearly every condition that, you know, most people in the world would see. Our weather varies so much that we actually get a real opportunity to test in so many conditions. So it's all about designing for, you know, the tough conditions of the British Isles. And if we know that it can withstand those, then, you know, it can withstand anything.
So it would have been a completely different company if it had been born in the south of France or somewhere like that. I mean, I'm sort of thinking we've turned British weather into this great brand benefit, Nick, in terms of the... So the story is about hardware and climates that you can work with. I mean, is that the British narrative you're trying to sort of tell when you're telling the Musto story?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important. And Chris hit the nail on the head there, really, with the what the British Isles offers in terms of the coastline. You know, north, south, east, west, wherever you are on the coast, it's very different. And that's kind of what inspires a lot of the lifestyle collection. But it's, you know, it's a lifestyle collection that is there for, built with purpose. And as a brand, we want to try and get that across as well. It's everything we provide. We can help make the difference on the water, but provide the ultimate protection off the water. And that's a lot where that kind of Britishness comes from, where you do need both.
And when you look at international customers that are buying a product, do they come to Musto because of the British brand, or do they come to Musto because of the performance message, do you think?
I think they come to us because they know of our reputation for being one of the best on the market. They know our reputation for quality. They know that some of the best athletes and sailors choose Musto as a brand and as a product. They'll go off their own back and look out for the product and go and get it themselves.
I mean that is true, isn't it, Chris? I mean, I looked at the ambassadors section, and you know, a lot of sort of, I guess, clothing brands that started in the performance area and, you know, break off into non-performance categories quite often lose their connection with the kind of, you know, that kind of sporting heritage. And I'm sure we can all think of a few where that has happened, but Musto retains its connection with people that are actually sailing, people that are actually riding, people that are actually involved in a whole series of performance sports. And I guess that's very important to you as a product person in terms of making sure this works for that home market, that sort of I guess the market where it all began.
Yeah, we know, you know, we focus on who that core consumer is, and when we brief in product, that's again who we have in mind. And I guess, you know, both Nick and myself are pretty close to that consumer. We've both lived the brand, we've worn the brand, and, you know, we're avid lovers of the coast and sailing and the countryside, and that really is kind of you know, then built through the teams as well, who, you know, Musto has an incredibly talented team, and all of us are really passionate about what we do.
I mean, it strikes me that Musto is one of those brands that if you step on a boat and you haven't got Musto clothing on, you know, you're a hostage to fortune in terms of how people are going to sort of like take your sailing abilities. I mean, I don't know whether that's built in from Keith's day. But I mean, it strikes me that actually it kind of goes with the territory. Tell us though, without maybe sort of spending too much time on that, in terms of the pandemic, the issue, unfortunately, that we all have to talk about these days, how has that influenced Musto sort of growing a business in these very, very uncertain times? What's been the performance story over the last 12 months?
Yeah, it's certainly made us have to rethink and look at how we're doing things. Maybe it's more of one thing that we're already doing right, and we're doing a lot of things right as well, of course, before the pandemic. So it's doing more of those things to make sure that we still resonate with consumers, talk about the things that really they can engage with, and that's the communities in which they live, the communities in which they wear our product, and then the kind of athletes and sailors that you know, ambassadors of ours that have been able to, fortunate enough to still be able to compete. We've just seen the Vendée Globe round the world sailors finishing that race in the last week, and that's been what a lot of our audience base and our consumer base has been following avidly. As those sailors have sailed and gone up against the Southern Ocean.
A lot of people will point to the last 12 months or so and say they've learned a lot about themselves. They've learned a lot about their brand, their business, their relationship with consumers. Chris, what would you take out of the pandemic in terms of Musto and its story?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a change for us all, but I think the key takeaway for us has just been how strong a team we are. It's been an incredibly challenging period to have to work remotely, and you can imagine certain industries where that's a challenge, but imagine trying to work on product when you're potentially watching it over a camera instead of being there, being able to touch it and feel it. So there's definitely been some real challenges, but you know, as such a strong team, we've really been able to kind of overcome those challenges. And I think, you know, that's been, you know, the kind of bringing together of people that this thing has really kind of brought about.
Mm. I mean, one of the things that a lot of people hope will come out of this is this great moment of reset, that actually our relationship with the planet will reset. A lot of people will point to the fact that they've reconnected with nature during the pandemic in ways that they never thought that they ever would, because of the way that we work and live. What does that all mean for a business like Musto in terms of how you work with the grain of that, in terms of changing consumer expectations and changing consumer demands, Nick?
Yeah, it's hugely important. We've taken a step back over the last couple of years and try to look at how we where we can make improvements and have less impact, less negative impact on the planet, so we can make positive changes in the way we operate. And we're looking at how we can our current impact and what percentage of our collections are made from recycled materials, for instance, and ways of measuring our carbon footprint and things like that. And what we want to be able to do is set out a roadmap for the future. What's our current status in all these different areas on sustainability and how we impact the environment around us, and what are the steps we can take for the future in the short term and the long term, and what are the quantifiable targets we can set for ourselves.
And do you think that is going to be the new performance metric, Chris? You know, your ability to create sustainable product, sustainable clothing, innovating in ways that perhaps you've never even thought of right now. I mean, is that the new measure of success?
Yeah, I mean, there's real step changes at the moment that are happening within the industry to move to a more responsible direction. We're, you know, pushing ahead in as many ways that we can. I think in terms of it will change the way the consumer looks at product. And we're at, you know, we've always been and will always be about building quality. Mm.
But I mean, to Nick's point there about the things that, you know, what your jackets will be made of. What's the stuff that excites you when you think about the idea that people want to have a sustainable planet? Actually, at Musto, we are doing fill in the, I suppose, complete the sentence in terms of stuff that you think's exciting right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some incredible technologies with our partners that we're working with at the moment that we're testing, and you know, hoping that can be the next change. Obviously, you have to go down the line of, you know, ultimately we're making incredibly complex performance equipment that could be the difference between life or death. You know, you go back to the dry suit. Some of this product has to keep the sailors dry and alive, basically. So there's areas where we can't, you know, that we're working on products that have to be thoroughly tested to make sure they meet that standard. But ultimately there's other areas where, you know, product that's more based on the land or the coast that we can really make massive leaps and bounds on. And you know, there's a variety of different things within the industry with solution dye, recycled products, organics that we're all moving towards that will change the way that product looks in the future.
Mm. I mean, this story began at the Tokyo Olympics, Nick, and we are approaching, we hope, another Tokyo Olympics. And I suppose that this must be symbolically important for a business like Musto in terms of, first of all, the deja vu of here we are again, and in terms of the impact that you want to make at a major world forum like that in terms of Musto, its presence. What are the sorts of things that you're thinking about this time around, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great story, isn't it? Going full circle from 64 Tokyo to, well, 2021 Tokyo, I guess now, is the support and the great partnership we have with the British sailing team. You know, it again runs down to that performance story. We've worked, you know, so closely with them over the last couple of years to create a product that works in really hot climates that they sort of expect in Tokyo to help them perform and gain their edge. And it's just very nostalgic really as well. You know, some of the graphics and the stories that we're telling through the product is great as well. And it's the brand's come full circle, and it's almost a bit of a reset as well with after the pandemic to go, right, we've come full circle now. We've had this dreadful year in 2020 with the pandemic, and what can we do now to really push the brand on, push the product on, and push ourselves to have a positive impact and on the planet, but also, you know, push forward with the brand and take it from strength to strength as well.
I mean, Chris, I mean, final question to you then. Same area. I mean, if Tokyo was an Olympics that inspired a startup, and we're back again with this scale up business that is known the world over, how do you approach the games from a kind of product perspective in terms of the things you're thinking about and the things we might see, especially in the sailing categories, I guess, and the sort of things you're working on, I suppose, that you could tell us in the run up to Tokyo 2021?
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously been, we have an incredible partner with the British sailing team, and we work very, very closely with the sailors there. And the kind of disciplines we talked about, sailing's changed in the last few years, and you know, they're now foiling and super high speed and crashing, and there's lots of different elements to this kind of sport that has changed the way product looks. So impact protection is a key part to that as well going forward. But specifically for the conditions there in Tokyo, you know, that's incredibly hot, humid climate, and something as simple as being able to have a fabric that cools the surface of the skin could make the difference between a winning or losing decision at a mark rounding. And that's where we've really focused in the effort with the British sailing team to, you know, with a product that can actively cool them down to make those difficult decisions.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's hope that this great British brand has got the necessary effect on great British athletes, because it has been a brilliant gold medal story of performance worthy of Olympic winners. I think the Musto story is one to inspire. I think that 1964 legacy and everything that has been achieved since, one that's been underpinned by a commitment to integrity, sustainability and quality. And I think it continues in its mission-led masterclass in engineering a business built to last. Thanks very much to Nick and Chris there for helping tell the story of Musto. And do join me next time.